You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. As we continue in our study of the Gospel of John, looking to God to help us, because he had it all recorded for us so that we could understand God's wonderful person. So we're going to look to the Lord in prayer, and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our hearts and heads, our homes, our health, our wealth. We're looking for you to help us in every way. Not for our comfort or convenience, but that you might be honored in our little lives, and that you would be pleased, delighted, to do all of that good and gracious work that you have made possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So God, thank you very much. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in chapter 12, our Lord is just a handful of days left, not even a handful almost, before he goes to the cross. And in the process, he has entered the city on his great triumphal entrance. It is a most public, awesomely public, with over 2.5 million or so people in the city, and all the talk of the town is about him and about Lazarus that he has risen from the dead. And so here they are, all excited. He comes in and he goes to the synagogue and a temple, I should say, and all of these things that he does. He does them each day until the day of his trial and crucifixion. Now, and the Pharisees are unable to arrest him, as we shared together. He is the most wanted man, but you can't get him. And you aren't going to do anything with Lazarus. They'd like to kill him, but they aren't going to be able to do that either, because God doesn't allow that. And if God doesn't allow it, it isn't going to happen. So now, here we are looking in chapter 12, and we shared together, as we read and studied last time, in verse 20, there were certain Greeks, or Gentiles is the word, not Jews, they're non-Jews. Among them that came up to worship at the feast, great Passover feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and requested him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would like to see this one. We've come to worship. We've come to worship and at the feast. And this one who is most noted and named among you at the moment, anyway, that we'd like to see him." And so they go to Philip, and Philip then goes to Andrew, verse 22. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they both, Andrew and Philip, are both from the same town, Bethsaida. And they both go and tell the Lord Jesus. Now, in the process, how close the Greeks are that follow him, and how many there are, we don't know. And as they follow him, as they follow Philip and Andrew, we don't know how close they are. We assume they're pretty close, and we assume they're in hearing distance. Now, our Lord doesn't answer them. They would like to see the Lord and contact him. That doesn't happen. But, except they get close enough between Philip and Andrew, they get close enough to listen. Now, verse 23, God in Christ answers them. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And we shared that hour, which is the hour of his death, to be crucified. He is the Son of Man," and it isn't talking about now. He doesn't mention it as a crucifixion. He mentions it as a glorification. A wonderful, 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 necessary from the beginning of time, before time ever was, necessary, the necessary event, God's coming into the world to save sinners. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and that, then in the light, and the in the light of that, remember now, he is answering, he's going to help them. They need to see him, they want to see him, and he makes it clear that he must go to the cross. That's his focus, that's his intent, that's what he's looking at. Now, and they, disciples included, and the crowd, and the Greeks, Gentiles, Greeks there, they all needed to pick up the wonderful movement. It was all about, think of Matthew 16, etc., way back a little while ago, when Jesus said, "I must go to Jerusalem, suffer and die and rise again." So they're all picking up. He zeroes in on the target. Of all the things to say and do, he focuses for them, on what it's all about from the foundation of the earth, his crucifixion. Now, therefore we go in the light of that, and keeping in mind that all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, if you use that, all those sacrifices could never, never, never make for rightness. They couldn't make for the holiness required. They couldn't make for any fellowship with God apart from believing. And if they didn't believe, all those sacrifices did nothing. They produced nothing. Now, keeping that in mind, so all of those thousands and thousands of animals, wow, all they did was give a way to express visually and materially the heart attitude of looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is this hour that he's talking about when he's going to be crucified. So now, so here they are, and they're looking for it. And they were only valid when the person, as we said, was trusting God and his saving grace. Now, John chapter 11, just for a moment. Remember in John 11, he had said before Lazarus was raised from the grave, 11:25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" You're never going to... Do you understand? If you believe, you're never going to die. A wonderful, wonderful, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, they had that. That's all of that. Now, keeping that in mind, and then look, here we are. He's answering them. My hour... As the Son, the hour has come, is right on top of me, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now he continues that thought about his crucifixion and his glorification. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," remember when you see a double verily, 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 that's something saying most emphasis, 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 emphasis. Important, important, important. If you haven't paid attention, you better not miss this one. "Verily, verily, I say," amen, amen is the word. "I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So what is he saying? He's saying to them, except, unless a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat, fall into the ground. It has to fall into the ground. A grain of wheat does. And it has to die. It has to die. It has to die. To become quite dead, literally, quite dead. It needs to expire. And if it doesn't die, It abideth alone. Alone. It stays alone. It's all alone. Nothing ever happens. It's just what it is. All alone. All alone. Now, but, if it die, there's the same verb, if it die and brings forth, break the word, to break into parts, to dissolve, to terminate, if it ends its existence, it bringeth forth much fruit. It bringeth forth much fruit. So God, here we are looking, and he said, see, using something that's very familiar to them, and easily understood, he uses a grain of seed, a grain of faith, etc., all over the place, a little bit. Now, having said that, so God, you're looking to plant, the seed, not for its death, but for its life. It's for its life. And if it only remains the seed, it abides alone. All by its lonesome. Now, over if you would please to pick up that thought, coming right back. Over if you would please to chapter 16. Chapter 16, our Lord is going to say, may I pick it up in the upper room, he's going to say it, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So I'm going to have to go alone, but I'm never alone. But I'm going to have to go alone. It's necessary that I go alone. Verse 24 of chapter 12. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Now, just so you know, and excuse me for a sec, and don't say anything to anybody. Wow. That's a package of seeds. You can't see it way back there. Sunflower seeds, big. Grow 9 feet tall. I mean, that's over the building. Wow. Here they are. Now, seeds. And they are there. And I have one. I could take it out, but you can't see it anyway. There it is. There's one of them. Now, if I give that to you, I'm going to have you take it home and put it under your pillow. And leave it there till it grows. Now you're going to wish you could wash the sheets, but you're going to leave it there till it grows. How long? It's always alone. Always alone. Can never be anything but alone. All by its lonesome. It must die. It must break up into pieces and lose the existence of that seed in order for that to happen. You need this part. Do you understand? If you don't get rid of the seed, the seed doesn't find good ground, this is never going to happen. The flowers, are not going to be found. Now you need to see this. Now which would you rather have? A seed or the flowers? Take your pick. Now you need this so we can move. I'm not going to put this back yet. Don't go away. Don't die in me. Now, in the light of that, what do we know? Our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, John 1:14, you have to turn there. The Word, He's the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. God the Son is the Word. And the Word became flesh, God became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. So we can understand the glory of the Father, God Himself, in all of His magnificence. Now, so that's it. Now God, here's our lovely person of Jesus Christ that has been presented to us and going to be in 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. And here He is in His wonderful, wonderful person, God in the flesh. Now, and God in the flesh. And so God, You could sit down, and they did. God fed them. God took care of them in every way possible to protect them and everything. And they could have had all of that. They could have sat down and had lunch with Him and seen Him and been near Him 100,000 different ways, as it were. But you know what? In all of those 3.5 years, those 12 disciples never had what He had. He had what He had all by His lonesome. It was here in Him. Just like you are all by your lonesome, aren't you? You can't give yourself to anybody. You can't. No one can step into your heart and have what you have. Your experience, it's you. You're the person in here, and no one else can have you. No one. You're all alone. Our Lord, in His perfect person, is God in all of His magnificence. And He shows Himself all kinds of ways as we in His 3.5 years of ministry, and we've been looking at all those things. His wonderful, wonderful person, God. But you know what? The disciples who were privileged to have all of that time with Him could never be what He is. And in fact, here, as we read, they didn't even understand what was happening. They didn't understand it. They couldn't have it. So God in Christ, all alone, here we are all around You, God, but we can't enjoy You, we can't participate, we can't have anything. You have it, we don't. No matter how you cut the cookie. So God, our Lord Jesus Christ, had to go, and He did. He satisfied the law. He satisfied the law by His wonderful life. You can't copy the law. It's impossible. The law condemns us. The law isn't meant to keep us. It condemns us. So we can't say our works and our doing and we'll do right and we'll do good. No, we can't do that. The law cannot save, cannot come to our aid, cannot rescue us. And the life that God demands, the law demands that life, but sin keeps it from us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. He has everything that God meant a human to have, more so. He's God. But no one, He's all alone, and He comes and goes, and when He's there, wonderful. Greeks, can you see Him? The Lord said, you don't need to understand. Here I am telling you these things. What you need to know, you can't get to Me. You can't know Me as I am. I am only God all alone. You can never get into My mind, My heart, My being. You're disconnected. The seed, which you know, must fall into the ground and die. It must cease its existence. As it is, it must give up and yield to the ground in order for what? To become what you can never know. When He dies, I'm going to make it possible for you to know. I'm making it possible for you, us, to know the seed, God. Now, remember, if you would, over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew in chapter 13. God uses the parable of the sower, and you would recall, picking up if I may, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And then you're going to read verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So here's the seed, God's word. And as you go down, each verse 20, verse 21, verse 22, verse 23. What does the seed need to find? It needs to find the ground that would receive it. If the seed doesn't get out of this package, nothing's going to happen forever. You know from the study of Egyptians and all of that, pyramids and tombs, what do you know? They're found in the hands of a mummified mummy. Seed. And for all those centuries, it's still just seed. It never found good ground. God, what are you saying? The seed. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So here's the word of God. The word of God. We're reading the word of God. We're looking at the word of God. And God, you said that word needs to be received in our heart, in our head. We need to receive that. That's right. And what do we receive? Well, when we receive the word of God, we receive the wonderful good news, the gospel. And what is the good news? The gospel, the word, the good word. It's about your death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it's about. Therefore, God, the life that you lived qualifies you for the death that you died. It was the death that you died that qualifies us as forgiven sinners to receive from you the life that you live. The life that you live, you want me to live. And you've made it possible by giving your life. The seed, your person, was willing. You gave up your person totally for me to the cross. And when you died, I died, and you died. And then you made an offer to whosoever would believe the good news, to receive as many as received him. And then when we receive you, you're the word, it's your word, and you are the living word. And when we receive the living word into our heart, requiring believing, receiving, when I do that, the word with an understand, I understand, God, I understand. I can never be anything that you want me to be. I can never become all that you want. Never. God, I can't do it. But God, when you died, you made it possible. When you gave yourself and became sin for us, who you knew no sin, you became sin for us and paid the penalty, the punishment. The wages of sin is death. And when you did, you did a marvelous thing. You died, except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. You died for me. So what? So that the wonderful life would be made possible. And you know, the little seed grows, and look at how many flowers. How many flowers? Think of a grain of wheat, a corn, and one corn, and many kernels. God, you made something possible. Here's us Gentiles. God, we would see Jesus. Jesus said, do you understand? Unless I go to the cross, you'll never see me. You need to see who I am. All you can do is see my physical body. You can't partake of it in any way, shape, or form. And all that I am, you can never be. But I'm going to go on your behalf, Gentile and Jew, to Calvary's cross and die like a grain of wheat. And I'm going to lose and be punished my whole being for your sin. And you know, I'm going to die dead. And I'm going to rise again. And when I arise again, I'm going to turn around. The seed, having died, is going to produce much fruit and make possible, what? That you can know me and I can know you in a most marvelous way. I'm going to make that possible. Now, over if you would please, to Romans and chapter. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 9. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, same, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the hope of death, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The seed must die. Christ died, and when you receive him as your Savior, God makes you good ground, and he makes something happen. He makes that seed find good ground. The seed produces a wonderful, wonderful life. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So God, and you know from John 16 and that, you can turn over there, John chapter 16. And if I may, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. By the way, I think I said that in case I didn't. I'm going to go in the light of everything happening in the next handful of days and thereafter. We're going to try to take the 6 o'clock hour and tie it directly to the evening hour in the light of what's going on. So A will lead to B, if you're interested. Now, chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? Is to honor the person and work of Jesus Christ and to make all of the benefits, all of the blessings, all of the bliss possible for a human heart. Possible. Because of Christ who died, was buried, and rose again. And all of those benefits are there. So when we receive him as our Savior, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that life, all of the beauty, all of the grandeur, all of the grace of God to be found in the human heart. That is, I know the Lord God is my personal Savior. And God, I'm getting acquainted. Think of Jeremiah in prayer meeting. We're getting acquainted, God. Wow. Aha, that's what it's all about. Now, and in the light of that. So, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing for us. And we believe in our heart, and God does a wonderful thing. Now, just like blood gives us life, our physical life. Without blood flowing in our body, we would not live. We would not be living. We have to have the flow of blood The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, so God, here's your wonderful, where's our spiritual life? Our wonderful life with you, God, is in your Son. You made it possible for us to have your life. A relationship to you, not in us, in you. Christ in you is where the life is. And that life blossoms. It's already broken. It's already, the seed's already been made dead and made possible for life. And so all of the flowering, all of the fruitfulness is there. You don't have to look for it. It's just there. And we need to learn to rest and abide in that which, the ground is going to be there. And the ground is going to let the seed wonderfully, wonderfully develop. And the seed is going to wonderfully, wonderfully develop. And so in the process, we're going to go and yield. We're going to yield to that. We aren't going to fight it. We're going to help it. We're going to help it. So God, you're going to have to help us. Our little hearts there, if we received you as our Savior, if we did, then you're going to go and do a wonderful thing in our little lives, and you're going to blossom. You're going to bring to us that relationship that is impossible apart from your death, apart from you going and dying on the cross. And if you don't die on the cross, no one ever is going to be able to know. Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan that fell, he would like to be, Isaiah 14, etc. He would like to be like the Most High and have all of the benefits. He's the creature. He wanted the benefits of the Creator. But you know, you can't do that. And because of his pride and sin, he fell, and so did a bunch of angels, as we shared. God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful. You've made it possible for a human being made in your image and likeness to be able to honor you and know you. Lucifer, son of the morning, pay attention, because God in his grace has made it so that we have a unique, personal, valid, permanent relationship to you, God. Wonder of wonders. Wow. That we'd be called a child. We're able to say we're sons in the Son. We're able to be heirs, joint heirs. Wow. We're able to be his wonderful body. And wherever the head goes, your head goes, does your body go? Wherever your head goes, your body goes. Wherever Christ is, his body is forever. Do you understand that? A relationship. Uh-huh. Greeks, you want to see me. Philip Andrew, you'd like to help. I'm going to tell you what has to happen. I have to go to the cross and die. I have to go to the cross and die. Over, if you would, back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Picking up so you see it. It's all over the place. We just have to catch it. The flavor. What happened? Why? 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 Romans chapter 6. In the light of your death on the cross. I'll read verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, identification into his death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that, verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, then, here we are, reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I look at my little life apart from you, my blood, brain, bones, and all of that, it's just that. It's all by itself. But you know, when I yield and I looked and received the Lord as my Savior, God makes something wonderful happen. So I personally have a relationship to my old nature, but now I have a wonderful relationship. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe that you'll never die? I die so that you can live. I died and rose again, so that we're able to reckon, verse 11, ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we yield, verse 13, we yield, we submit. I submit, I don't make believe you're the ground. And the ground is going to go and cooperate with the seed. So the seed can what? The seed can go wonderfully go and grow. And it's going, that's going to happen. So now, and the seed, what's going to happen? The seed is going to break apart, and part of it has two tails, and the seed breaks apart, and one tail all breaks up into pieces, and one tail goes down into the ground, and the other tail goes up into the sky. Life. Down into the ground and up into the sky. Wow. God, that's what a seed does. And the seed has to die. Is there any other way? No. No other way. No other way on earth. We're going to keep the seed forever in the package, in the container, in the Egyptian's hand. You want life. You have to understand, you have to die. And that's our problem, isn't it? Because we seed, the seed's very wonderful. And you cherish the seed. You can't see this little seed. And I love this seed. This is me. Wow. Boy, do I love me. I love me, my little seed. Don't you touch my seed, my pride. Boy, don't you play with me. This is me. And we try to live like that, don't we? But we live all alone. Always all alone. It has to die. And God comes along and says, listen, I have made something possible. I have taken your little heart and I have made it possible to plant the seed of my word, and thus my work, making possible my personal presence in your heart. If you're good ground, I want you to cooperate. I will produce everything that you want and everything you need to be and ought to be. I'll make it all work out wonderful. So therefore, when you receive me as your Savior, you'll understand. I'm going to make something happen in your life. You're going to have to die, though. But I want to keep the old. No. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. And God said, that can't happen unless you're willing to die. You got to die. But, no, you have to die. Do you understand? You have to die. I don't like that. Then you just stay, and nothing ever happens. All of it could happen if you just die. But I can't die. You can't, but I did. I did for you what you can't do. So when you receive me as your Savior, I made possible something that's impossible. I took your sin in my own body on the tree, and I bear it there so that you could have life, a wonderful, wonderful life, my life, not your life, my life. The life that I have, I made it possible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The person of Jesus Christ had to be crucified, had to die, had to give up all that he was as God in order to pay the penalty. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in those 3 hours, he paid for my sin and yours. And then he rose again. And he turns around and says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wow. Wow. And something wonderful happens. It could never happen. Never happen apart from that. Wow. So the seed, which has life, the seed needs to find good ground. And when the seed finds good ground, wow, something wonderful happens. And God, so over, you know all these things. Over to Galatians. Galatians. If I can. And I'm going to go in Galatians to give you a little bit of movement again. Galatians chapter 1, Paul gives his testimony, and Paul is going to tell you, he received, the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself to Paul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9. Now, when you come down, Paul's going to say it, chapter 1, Galatians, verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. So Paul, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He revealed his Son, where? In me. In me. Now, that's in me. And the people knew me. They knew I'm the great persecutor of the church, etc., in all my zeal. But no, now I have another thing that happened to me. Another thing, the seed, God made possible a wonderful life by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seed. Verse 24, and they glorified God in me. Verse 16, in me. So what's the difference? God, something marvelous. That's right. Over to chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I died, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by or in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, I have a wonderful, wonderful, unique personal relationship, and I want to exercise it in the fullest sense possible. I want to do so. Wow, and that's because I received you as my Savior. Paul, could you say it to us a little simpler and easier again for us so that I understand this business? The Greeks wanted, and God said, what I'm going to do is make it possible for any person, Jew or Gentile, to know me personally in a wonderful way. Over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, and as you would guess, maybe, Second Corinthians and chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4. And now, you know it, in verse, remember now, the God of this world that blinded the minds, verse 4, 2 Corinthians, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they don't want to have any light or life. Now, but, that's for people that don't believe, then it's shut off. So what? It isn't a thing. You mentally close your eyes. Now, verse 5, if we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're going to tell you the only thing. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what you're going to tell the Corinthians. Verse 5. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. To do what? To give the light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God. We need to know God. And where are we going to know that? In the face of Jesus Christ, who we have received. God, when I received you, Paul said, God, they're going to know God in me. He revealed His Son, and God is in me. And Lord, what are you going to do for us? You're going to help us understand, I received you as my personal Savior, God. And thus, we're in the person of Jesus Christ, which was utterly impossible until you went to the cross. Until you died. And if you didn't die, I would never live. Wow. God, you did that. That's right, I did that. So now, here we are looking. And God, we are to be motivated, moved. Remember, God, without turning there, John 6, and in verse 63, you know, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And like the word, like seed, they're pregnant. And we're reading the Bible. We're reading the words. All of those sentences, all of those syllables are full of life. Do you understand that? And if they just found in your heart good ground, wow. And then it isn't an intellectual academic trying to look to God and get to the invisible God. No, it's a real thing. Do you know you're really alive? Most of you? Don't you? Do you know it? And you can show it, can't you, by movement? But it's something you know. No, that 1 John 5:13, these things are written unto you that you may know. Just like that kind of knowing. You just know it. Don't you know you're alive? When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you know you're saved. And God, what? I'm trusting you, God. And that's why I'm saved. Not because of anything about me. It's everything about you. And you made it possible in a most unique way. You made it possible. You remember, and remember now, before I change it to the end, until I am prepared to die to what I am, and look at yourself in the mirror, that's what you are. That's what you all are. Until you're willing to die to what you are, you can't be what God would have you be. You have to die. I don't want to die. I have my feelings. Who cares about your feelings? Who cares about your right? My rights? Baloney. You don't have any rights. Before God, tell me what rights you have. Wow. No, God, you did a wonderful thing for us. So therefore, you made possible this unique relationship. Now, there was, you remember, the poor man living alone, little house, and a very rich man wanted to buy his little house, piece of property. And the man diligently went in the light of selling the property, tried to fix up the roof and paint and do everything, and he did all of that to make it so it was acceptable to the man. The rich man that was going to buy it. And the rich man, the windows, and did all of that. And so the rich man comes along, buys the thing, and the man drives by to see what's going on. And he sees this big, big thing knocking the house down. And so the man got out of the car and asked, what happened? I just fixed the house up for you. And the man said, the owner said, he wasn't after your house. He was after the piece of property. He wanted the property to build on. He wants your heart to build on. He doesn't want your collection of stuff. He wants your heart to build on. Build what? Not dead stuff. Living stuff. Wonderful stuff. That's what God wants. Wow. God. You say, well, take your pick. And you say, what a mess. No, I want to help you. You're either going to be this seed and say, I'm this person. That's right. We're going to bury you like that. And we're going to put you in the ground and one way or the other. And you're going to end up being dust where you came from. No question about it. You're going to be. And you're going to go. That's how you're going to go. But God, you did something, made something wonderfully possible that you could be this. This goes in the ground and this goes to God. Huh? That's a great thing. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? That's awesome. Yeah. Do we deserve it? Never. Do we ever intellectually understand it? It's beyond us, beyond our capability of grabbing hold of such a wonderful thing. And it's going to take God's wonderful heaven to get us there. Wow. So God help us in every way, shape, or form. Wow. The secret nature hideth. Summer dies and lives again. Spring from winter's grave ariseth. Winter's grave ariseth. Harvest grows from buried grain. This the secret of the holy. Not our holiness, but Him. Jesus, empty us and fill us with Thy fullness to the brim. This the balm for pain and sickness, just to all our strength to die, and to find His life and fullness, all for being, all our beings need supply. This the message of the Master. Through the cross He preached the throne. And like Him our path to glory leads through death alone. Only God, thank God, we have died. The wages of sin is death. In Christ I have been crucified so that I might live. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us to understand a little bit of the marvel of what You have made possible and what is utterly impossible apart from Thy saving grace. God, thank You very, very, very much. We don't want to be religious. We want to be right. We want to enjoy the rightness that You provide in Your wonderful Son, that gives us a relationship that abides and lasts forever. God, here and now, God, thank You for all that we have. And there and then awaits us. God, thank You very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may like to turn in your hymnal as we close and hear it close. 268. 268.